everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, July 13th, and we just finished watching tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday Night Tradition here on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post-Show. If this is your first time tuning in, there is multiple ways that we invite you, the listener, to get involved throughout this show. But before I tell you about those, I want to give you guys a few pointers on how you could support the show if you dig it. First off, you could head over to patreon.com/megapowersradio, where you could support us for as little as $1. Help us keep the lights on, keep bringing you awesome content like the Raw Post Show here, the Daceman Show, the All Talk Show, and everything else on the Mega Powers Radio lineup. If you can't afford that little bit of extra coin, I understand, but you could still join us live every Monday here on megapowersradio.com or by subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and all the various places we are. And while you're visiting us there, rate and review us and invite all your friends to join us there as well. And if you are looking to get involved in the show tonight, we are going to have many ways open to you. The number one way, of course, is our phone lines. If you want to get yourself in the order that's there, we already have a number of people waiting patiently. So if you want to get on, call quickly so you'll get on earlier. Number to dial in is area code 760-512-7247. You can also dial in with Skype by pressing the little Skype icon at the top of the page. Or if you're afraid of having your voice heard, we have the chat room open. Shout out to the folks we got there early, which actually, Ferris419, I thought I saw Mono Apex there a minute ago. Pretty quiet chat room. Where the hell is everybody? I thought we had a great Raw tonight. I'm excited to talk about it, and I'm surprised we had more people in there. But if you're also listening, you want to join us via Twitter, at Raw Post Show is another place to go. And, of course, our Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Just search for that on Facebook, The Mega Maniacs. It'll pop up. And introducing who we got here tonight to get the show started. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. Joining me first, the returning Monday Night Delight, Drew White.
Yo, yo. What is up, Mr. Mikey P?
You are.
Cool.
All right. And also with us, Mr. Steven Huego.
Hello.
And Mr. Tony Mago.
Mahalo.
All right. Well, those are very charismatic intros.
Because with the commentary that happened tonight.
Sure. Okay. Well, whatever. I thought we had a fantastic show tonight. I've actually got not one, not two. There's got to be at least like four or five segments that I thought were a lot of fun tonight. A lot of fun things to talk about with that. I want to ask you guys, though, after this show, what's the number one thing you took away? Wayo, you go tell first.
The number one thing I took away is that this is what a go-home show should be. It had good wrestling. It had segments which promoted the upcoming special event. It was everything you wanted in there. And if you didn't enjoy tonight, then I really don't know what you expect in pro wrestling.
Well said. Tony, what do you got to follow that up with?
Number one thing I took away tonight? You fuckers are wrong when you say that we don't like good Divas wrestling.
I don't remember anybody saying that.
Smack talk people.
I don't think they said anything specifically like that. I think they said that the things we were saying were pretty harsh. I don't think we don't like good
women. A lot of the comments where you don't know how to talk about the women because you think that these matches are bad. Well, how, you know, fuck you guys and stuff like that. And yeah, those matches are bad. And tonight was fucking awesome.
Well, this wasn't a match.
It didn't even need to be.
I get what Tony's saying.
If this was a match, this would have been a terrible match.
Oh my god,
match.
All the semantics on here.
Yeah, typically, if we have bad women segments, typically we get bad women's segments. Tonight was a good women's segment. So, all fuck right. Everyone.
And Drew, what did you take?
Oh, my turn. The one thing I took away from, I haven't been watching Raw the past couple of weeks, but the one thing I really took away from tonight is a lot of the newer talent or some of the people who have, I wouldn't really consider veterans. They really carried the show tonight. You saw like the Rusev, the Kevin Owens, the Cesaros, the Adrian Nevilles. A lot of those type of people stepped up tonight. Not really stepped up in a way that like they were the headliner of the show, but they were in main parts throughout the show and played big roles. And also if we consider the Divas segment or the Women's segment, depending on how you want to look at it, as well, a lot of the newer talent that's coming up, or some of the new talent that's been on the main roster for a year or so, a couple, really good. I'm really excited for what the future holds.
And I actually want to follow that up because that's a big theme I noticed going throughout this entire night. There was a certain drive in a lot of people that I don't think we've seen in a lot of these younger guys. We've complained a lot about some of these younger folks not grabbing that brass ring, the proverbial brass ring that Vince McMahon made up. Tonight, I feel like there was a lot of people reaching for it. Everybody looked like they wanted to put on the best performance they could, and they wanted to be the person that when people were going home at the end of the night that they were talking about. And who that one person was, I think that's really tough to say because so many people brought their A-game tonight. Rusev, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, I think Stardust put an A-plus performance in, Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, that promo he ended the night with. There was just so much great stuff going on in the show. I didn't even mention the Divas there. Holy crap, this show was packed. And of course, we want to hear what all you out there thought about it as well. Check us out on Twitter at Raw Post Show, Facebook, The Mega Maniacs, and of course, the phone number and Skype at the top of the broadcast page there. We're going to get started talking about this show tonight with the opening segment where we had Brock Lesnar coming out to the ring with Paul Heyman. Excited because Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar coming out got both pyro, which it seems like they don't even do that for pay-per-views. Maybe they'll just do one, and even when they do it, they don't get it on time. They nailed it today. So, kudos to the pyro team. They get a little bit of a speech in. It's your typical Paul Heyman saying Brock Lesnar's a conqueror speech. Seth Rollins interrupts and points over to the car that they had from last week, the Cadillac that Brock Lesnar absolutely destroyed. Somehow it got crushed. I don't remember Brock Lesnar doing that crushing to it. I remember him doing a lot of stuff to the car, but I don't remember him, like, maybe he actually did do, like you said, Wago, and lift up that box and just smash it underneath the box.
One can hope.
I remember at one point they were showing a video of, like, the car. I wasn't really paying attention, but maybe he took it to a car pound at some point, just crushed the top, because I do not recall that as well.
That would have been a fun segment. Like, Brock Lesnar taking the handle and flipping it down and, like, doing a shit-eating grin as the car is getting crushed.
Man. Should have just flipped it last week. Should have. Should have, could have, would have.
Should have just flipped it right on top of Jamie Noble.
No, should have just flipped it into the crowd like he threw everything else.
Okay. Well, Seth Rollins says that the crushed car over there may be a symbol of Brock Lesnar's dominance, but this is my symbol, and holds up the WWE title, which I thought was a really cool little moment for him there. Paul Heyman has a really fun quip back. Seth Rollins has been standing there with Kane, and Paul Heyman's like, ooh, Undertaker's little brother's trying to threaten us. This all ends with making a contract signing as our main event of the night. And wouldn't you know it, the contract signing didn't end up being very civil. In fact, they didn't really waste any time in this contract signing. They're like, all right, we know what the deal is. Let's just sign our names really quick and let's get to business. I actually thought it was kind of neat here where Paul Heyman called Seth Rollins out for moving his hands or something like that. And Brock Lesnar flips over the table, finds an axe handle strapped to the bottom of it, and he slowly lets Seth Rollins take it back, but then as Seth Rollins standing there all cocky holding the axe handle, Brock Lesnar tosses a table right onto Seth Rollins, which was an excellent visual. The rest of this was kind of chaotic with a back and forth beatdown. At some point, Brock Lesnar drops steel steps onto Kane's ankle, so I'm guessing Kane's out of the picture now. And this leaves Seth Rollins alone, which Seth Rollins says he was not afraid of Brock Lesnar, but he hightailed out of there real fast. Lesnar eventually just poses with the title, drops it down, walks out. Seth Rollins comes back, throws a big hissy fit, cuts what I thought was just a fantastic promo. Another one of these I don't need anybody speeches, but Seth Rollins showing that he is definitely the dominant one on the microphone from the break-aparts of the Shield. And this leaves Seth Rollins alone going into his match against Brock Lesnar, which I think is very funny, considering months ago they made that story, or that rumor, I guess, after Jamie Noble had gotten his injured ribs, that he was going to slowly pick apart one member of the Authority at a time, and he never actually did that. And now he does it, like, a month later. All came around on that. But ask you guys your thoughts about this whole through thing here. Tony, who looks dominant throughout all this?
You know, not as much Brock Lesnar as I thought that he would be. He definitely is more dominant looking than Seth Rollins, I would think. Like, you're supposed to buy into the idea that Brock Lesnar's going to win the title. And if I weren't somebody who knew that this was all predetermined and stuff, I would be like, oh, Brock Lesnar's going to fuck him up. But Seth Rollins has been looking pretty good, too, in, like, a different way. Like, he kind of...
He looked confident.
Yeah, there's, like, some kind of a different confidence.
Perhaps a false confidence, but yet a confidence nonetheless.
It's kind of almost coming off to me like a potential babyface turn, as, like, heelish as he's being. Like, you know how sometimes somebody will act like a real jerk, and then they'll turn face instead of acting like a good guy?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, Austin ends up becoming a babyface after doing the whole, like, Austin 316 thing. You know, guy badmouths a beloved legend and the Bible, and people are like, that guy's cool, we should cheer him now. Like, Seth Rollins is kind of coming off to me like they might be preparing for that, and that's starting to make me think that we might actually be getting Triple H versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. So they're sort of setting up that in a way, I think, and at the same time, they're making Lesnar look good enough that he can lose at Battleground. And he still doesn't look bad. So the edge is to Lesnar, but the bigger story is Rollins.
Wago, did you expect something different to this contract signing?
Well, what I didn't like about this whole storyline was the opening segment. And it wasn't a bad opening segment. I'm just not a fan of having a talking segment essentially set up another talking segment. But luckily, when it did come time for the contract signing, they cut to the chase. So it wasn't your typical contract signing, at least. What I did enjoy out of this more than anything was Seth Rollins' mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it played into his character very well. And whilst Tony gave a good example of how Austin was a prick and the fans ended up siding with him, I don't think you're going to get that with Seth Rollins, mainly because Austin had a lot more qualities in him, which made you think, he's kind of badass. He's got some ugly-ass blonde streak in his hair. His voice sounds like nails on chalk, like on a chalkboard.
Something he said for different times, too. I mean, that was mm-hmm. the late 90s, which was the awesome, rad, extreme 90s, and everyone rooted for the bad guy because the bad guy was cool. Like, now we're becoming a much more PC society. Like, the wholesome hero is more of an attraction.
Yeah, as far as Seth goes, I think he's got just enough unlikable qualities, and I think he connects with people on a level that everyone kind of knows a Seth Rollins type guy. So he's easier to hate. So I see him somehow weaseling his way out come Sunday, and I'm very happy with how I'm very happy that they're setting up with something with him and Kane, because he's going to need something to do if he holds onto that belt.
Drew, I know the biggest question on everybody's mind. How is Kane going to come back from this?
I don't know. I get a feeling that he'll probably end up turning face like always and, you know, having a one-off against Seth Rollins as they tend to do all the time. But who knows? I really don't care about that part of everything that went that down tonight. So I think I don't know why I almost called you Rollins, Wago. My bad, but Wago's and Tony, and you especially, you all three of you hit the nail in the head, as they say on the streets. So I really don't have much to add for the most part. I think, right. But the one thing I would mention about just Seth Rollins' dynamic, I don't know if he's a blonde technically or he has black hair. That's all I really want to know out of all of that. Is he a blonde or does he have black hair?
I mean, like, which part is he dying? Like, is he actually full blonde, but he's actually dying the rest of it black?
Was he, like, a zebra?
I know he has blonde hair, but I don't know if you technically call him a blonde or a blackhead.
Well, I think a blackhead is a pimple.
Yeah. Of course. But half of his head is black, so you never know.
All right. Well, so last week I debuted a new segment called Who Said It? It's essentially where I pull a line from that night's edition of Raw, and I ask you, who said it? And I saved that for the end of last week's show, but I actually have multiple ones for this week. So I'm going to start the first one nice and early. And I think this is going to be a really easy one because he said it like 50 fucking times. And this one is, I truly believe now, the future is now. Who said it?
Michael Cole?
Nope.
John Cena.
John Cena. When he was on commentary, that's like pretty much all he said, or at least every other damn thing he said. Hey, you know, kudos for trying to put over the new talent and all the exciting people that are coming up, but chill. Or actually, no, you chilled way too much. You actually could have used a little more enthusiasm.
Yeah, I'm right. He could have. Holy shit. Chill. How boring was he tonight?
It's dreadful.
And usually he's really...
This match was he conserving his energy? I think he was conserving his energy for the match.
Jeez.
But he was just like... I mean, JBL did it earlier too, but they were both just kind of like, this match is going on and there's a person who's going to win. Don't know who, but
well, to be,
someone.
To be fair, at one point commentary died when Cesaro looked like he almost killed himself. So,
well, they do that a lot, though. They stay quiet to sell a moment.
But no, it just felt like they were quiet for like 15, 20 seconds. It was just an extremely long time for just a simple bad bump, it looked like.
Well, Cena match. Seemed like he had his mic down like really low, where he was just kind of like he came off of a jet lag or something. Like,
well, he was still muttering for sure. No matter where his mic was, that mic could have been like in the ring, and he still should have sounded better than that.
And someone like Cole's trying.
You could hear it when he's in the fucking match.
Yeah. But they're like, so, like, who do you think that you're going to end up fighting later, and what do you think this is going to have to do with Battleground? And he's like, I don't know. You're like, Jesus Christ, John, you're the one guy. You ran to the ring all excited. You're all like, oh, shit, the U.S. Open Challenge is going to start now, motherfucker.
Yeah. He wasted all his time on running to the ring.
I think he was just in a bad mood because he didn't get to wrestle. Like, straight away, he's like, ugh.
No, it's going to be about somebody else. I got to sit here with freaking Michael Cole and Byron Saxton.
Yeah. He saw, like, a Cena sucks sign in the crowd or something and got depressed. I don't suck.
He saw a cancer rules sign.
Oh, I can't bring this person into the ring because I'm not wrestling right now.
All right. Well, with that, guys, we're going to start opening up the phone lines to all you out there listening. We got a lot of callers there. So if you want to get yourself on soon, dial in and get yourself in queue. Number to punch in on your phones, area code 760-512-7247, or press that Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page on blogtalkradio.com. So, first people we're going to bring on is calling in from the 609. We got two 609ers here. So, let's bring on the first one from 609-462. You're live in the Raw Post Show. Who there?
Hey, Jaden. It's back here.
What's
for
up?
A second time.
What's up, Jaden? How you doing, dude?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, bro. Tonight, Raw was awesome.
I'm marking out.
Calm down, that trigger.
I kind of want to start off with the Divas. I mean, I can't believe that what happened there when Paige... I thought Paige was like going to be like a challenger to face Bray tonight, but then basically the whole NXT girls roster came out, and they did a good job because like Divas usually suck, like they're so terrible. I hate watching them, but tonight it was worth watching.
Wow, that's a lot of strong words to say about the Divas. I don't think they're that bad, but they definitely needed a shot in the arm, and I think it was great the way they did it with Stephanie McMahon coming out and pretty much throwing it. Like, Bella's, your time's pretty much up. You better start, like, figuring out how you're going to keep a job around here because you've got all these other women coming up.
Yeah. I mean, they're not all that bad, but, you know, I mean, it's not, like, it's not always entertaining, like, the men, but yeah. Also, the match against, I thought the Rusev versus Kevin Owens versus Cesaro, I thought that was a really excellent match, but the fact that Rusev, I didn't realize that Rusev had to face John after that, And that was kind of cheap because he was injured and hurt. So, yeah, that's why I thought about that match. But other than that, I wanted Cesaro to win that match. But It was fine with me. I knew Rusev was going to lose because no one wants him as champion again. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure Rusev would like him to be champion again. Yeah.
I mean, Rusev was looking pretty good after he came off his injury, but I don't think anybody wanted him to win.
I think we'd be hard pressed to find somebody.
Oh yeah, the tag team match was okay. I like that Mark Henry finally won the match because usually he loses. So yeah, but. Other than that, Raw was pretty nice.
That was nice indeed.
Yeah, that's it.
What was your high point, low point? Your favorite part and your least favorite part?
My favorite part probably would have been the match with Rusev versus Cesaro versus Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And my least favorite probably would have been... This is hard because they were all pretty good. New Day versus Titus O'Neil and Mark Henry. Titus O'Neil, the primetime players in Mark Henry. That wasn't that exciting, but... Oh, wait. Actually, I think twice. Because the match against King Barrett versus R-Truth was terrible, so...
Yeah, I do appreciate you showing the proper respect for the King, though.
Yeah. I mean, they did an excellent job. They put on the show. And I think everybody... probably would like the viewers now.
Indeed. All right, Jay, we got a lot of callers on the line here. We always appreciate you calling in, man. Always welcome. So you have a good night. We'll talk to you again another time.
Thanks, bro. Bye.
Right. Another cool caller coming up in just a moment. If you want to get yourself in line, dial 760-512-7247. In the meantime, I want to do one more segment talking about with you cats here. First match cool. We had, you cool kitty cats. We had a tag match as our first match of the show. It was Ryback and Randy Orton against Sheamus and Big Show with Miz on commentary. Basically doing the same thing they've done the last few weeks. Miz was sitting there at the ringside just causing his distractions as often as he could. Eventually he took a mic and started doing this. He's like, yeah, get him. He's been doing this for weeks now. Eventually he pisses off Big Show enough to chase him to the back. Sheamus is dominating over Ryback, but Orton sneaks up behind for an RKO out of nowhere, except first he does it this, like, weird pelvic thrust thing. It's hilarious. He RKOs him, Ryback does a frog splash for the pin, and the two babyfaces celebrate in the ring. This was a non-offensive tag match with some fun moments with Miz and the Randy Orton thing, so I got nothing to complain here. Tony, who was your favorite out of this match?
You know, out of all these people, I enjoy Ryback the most. I do like The Miz. I like what he's doing lately. And I kind of don't want to see that ending necessarily at Battleground, but the main thing out of all this is Ryback. He's got to not only come out of this on top, but he should be the champion for a while.
You know, some of the moves he was doing in this match are just really impressive. He did a plancha at one point. Of course, he's doing the frog splash. Getting very nimble for a guy who used to be so notoriously clumsy.
I unfortunately didn't see that. I got to go back and check it out because as soon as Sheamus is on my screen, I'm tuning out. Well,
Drew, I know you're another big fan of Ryback. What do you think about his recent show of athleticism?
Surprising. You know, just his body frame. He just kind of like along the lines of Kevin Owens. You wouldn't expect those two to pull off some of the stuff, and not highlighting Ryback too much because he's not doing anything that's like mind breaking or just like mind boggling. But for a man of like his like size and just like the way his body's built, just some of the stuff that he's been showing off lately is really impressive. And I think out of a lot of the people in the WWE, he's one of the most improved, which speaks volume for someone like him who a lot of people just pegged as like the next Goldberg or something like that. He's really shown that he's more than just another big guy. I didn't mean to take his phrase there, but really he is by all means impressive. And you know, when we get to the point of the Smarkies at the end of the year, I think he's someone that could really show off that he's a guy that could be one of the most improved people in the company, because he definitely showed it through the first half of the year.
Wego, the typical Raw tag match formula is to take two storylines and combine them into the tag match. Which one of these has got your interest more going into Battleground?
Well, definitely the Ryback Intercontinental title feud has my interest the most. And I was actually thankful that they combined in both of these feuds to one. Not so much that I dislike the Intercontinental title feud, but I'm not very happy with Randy Orton versus Sheamus now. So it means I don't have to sit through two segments. I get it all in one. Overall, I'm impressed with Ryback as a whole, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he does.
Oh, goodness.
Combined it.
Yeah. Hey, Wade, you accidentally said something. Jump on it quick.
Immediately. It's like that combined.
It's cute. It's like when a 10-year-old says, like, ebony or something.
Or like when Seth Rollins tries to say inanimate.
Oh, goodness. All right, we're going to take out our next caller here. Caller from the 646. I think I know who this is. Zaisha?
Yeah, what's up, guys? How
are
you doing?
Oh, we're all tremendous here, having a good time talking about what I thought was a great show tonight. What did you think about it, though? Did you have fun with tonight's show, or are you upset by something?
No, I thought tonight's show was great. I enjoyed it so much. So many good parts. Mm-hmm. So it was just so fun.
Well, out of all of it, what stuck out the most to you?
Definitely the Divas. I got to say it. I know. I'm sorry. When I see Sasha, I'm sorry. That's a segment of the night right there.
Hells yeah. No, you're talking to a major Sasha Banks supporter. I was so happy when she came out because first they just had Charlotte and Becky Lynch, who, hey, I'm happy to see them come up too. They're very talented, and I think they're going to do great things up there. But I was like, oh, poor Sasha, probably being held back because she's got to keep the title down there. And then when they brought her out, I was like, yes!
Yeah, I'm like, please bring Sasha. And I just went off. I'm like, yes, girl, she's going down the ring. I was like, you better get in the middle. You showed them that you're the top women wrestler in the world. You better go, girl. And she got hit. I was like, oh, Nikki, fuck you, girl. You don't touch on Sasha. And she beat the top. I was like, yes.
Oh, man, that segment was really intense.
I love Sasha. That's my girl right there.
No, I'm very proud of everything that went down there. All these women really looked impressive tonight. Something that you don't see when the women are out there is everything just looks really fluffy and soft. Like, tonight, everything looked sharp. Everything looked intense and stiff. Like, they did a great job with that.
Mm-hmm. Especially that part when the NXT women did their submissions. That was incredible to watch.
I saw a number of inappropriate tweets about that moment, but what else did stick out to you? I mean, we're going into Battleground here. Unfortunately, I don't know what they're going to do with the Divas as far as that. What would you like them to do? I mean, it seems like we got three teams of three. How the heck can we work that into a match?
I know that, like, there's not going to be a Divas match in Battleground, so I'm guessing they're going to save us for SummerSlam, which I think they should, because it means no reason to give a match. So just save like a thing for SummerSlam, probably do a triple trio smash. I don't know. But, I just don't care. I'm just glad to see Sasha on Monday Night. Well, I'm just glad. I don't care.
Yeah, next few weeks for the Divas are going to be very, very interesting. Well, what else did you like? I mean, this was the go home show. Are you excited for Battleground? Anything in particular got you stoked?
Yeah, this one definitely got me excited for Battleground. Can't wait to see Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins. John Cena versus Kevin Owens should be good. Side match should be good. I don't care about King Barrett and King R-Truth. That's a joke. I'm looking forward to Battleground. And tonight's go home, this is what a go home should be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that hard to make it home on the show, so. Yeah, I'm excited for Battleground.
Awesome. Well, on this packed show, I think it's easy to know what your high point is. But what was your high point and your low point for the whole show?
High point, of course, to be your segment. Of course. And low point, R-Truth and King Barrett. Oh, just get away.
Yeah, for the...
But nice to see Cody Rhodes back.
Oh, absolutely. Well-deserved time off. You know, he had to do his thing. He actually posted a really cool tweet earlier today that showed the Stardust boots sitting there, and it had a quote from his father. He's like, whenever you do something, always see it through. And he credited that to his dad. It's like, oh, wow. Yeah. That's really touching.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I got that comic before it started, and that was kind of badass.
The Neville comic?
Yeah, with Stardust. Okay, that's kind of cool.
That, oh man, I gotta go check that out. So that, I didn't know if that actually was something that existed, or if they were just kind of like making it up on the screen.
I think it's like real.
Oh, I gotta go find that.
So I know they tweeted it out earlier.
Oh wow. All right, well, Aisha, we got a number of callers I got to get to here, but we always like having you on. You're always welcome to call back again. You have a good night.
All right, you too, guys.
All right. Number of cool callers we already had here. We're going to keep them coming in because we still got lots of folks waiting patiently, but if you want to get yourself in line to be on soon, dial in with your phones, area code 760-512-7247. Looks like the chat room's starting to fill out with a bit more people. We got Awesome Piano Man in the house making a rare appearance. Good to have you here. Creepers Under Radar, Ferris 419, and Mono Apex. Shout outs, guys. Thanks for joining us here. Keeping the conversation going with us here, we had a tease for a match of Dean Ambrose against Bray Wyatt. Never actually got started, though, because as soon as Bray Wyatt finished his entrance, Roman Reigns attacks from behind. They tussle around for a bit, and eventually Bray Wyatt runs off, and the camera cuts off awkwardly in the middle of Michael Cole's line. This was weird. I know the person who's most offended by this is Tony, so Tony, you start us off.
What the fuck was going on with this? Oh, this was annoying as shit. I mean, there was a big thing going on tonight where they really, like, they were cutting the commercials at odd times and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what, if there was somebody like taking over Kevin Dunn's job, or if Kevin Dunn was phoning it in, like John Cena on commentary or something. But like, this was so awkward. They waited what felt like 10 minutes or so, and they had Ambrose just sitting out there in the ring, and they're running commercials and video packages. And at this point, if I were him, I'd be like, yo, can we like fucking do something? Because I'm just standing out here, kind of flexing my arms, going, wait for Wyatt. And Wyatt comes out, and it ends up being nothing. And then on top of that, you've got the monotone JBL that I mentioned earlier. If I were Dean Ambrose, I'd be concerned. Look at all those fireflies. Ah, shit. Well, I'm just going to be, you know, having a ball on this episode, aren't I? Jesus Christ, guys. This is how you're going to start off this episode for the most part. You got Seth Rollins totally unable to say his promo. So they're going like, and then you're like, oh, let's just go to a match. Psych. Fuck. This segment was terrible. And this really is not something you do for a go-home show.
I hear you. Drew, were you, a little more positive on this, or is this something that got you as angry?
What? Just like all the mishaps? I think the only time it really got on my nerves was, I think you mentioned it as well, was like during they did the entrance for the tag team match, and then like they did 30 seconds of the match, and then they went to a commercial. That annoyed me, but I don't know, there was just like some parts throughout the night that were kind of little downers, but for the most part, everything was solid. So I'm not a nitpicker like Tony is, but it didn't really bother me too much.
I wonder if they got a directive from like USA that they have to take more commercial breaks.
Were there more?
I feel like there had to have been.
Because I didn't really think that there were more. I just thought that they were awkwardly placed.
So many fucking food commercials tonight. That's for damn sure.
Indeed. Well, that actually transitions me nicely into my next edition of Who Said It? So I want to ask you guys, who said this? I don't know about you, but my heart is pounding, and not because I'm fat. Who said it?
Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
The old Paulman.
Right in the first segment. Really clever line by Paul Heyman. I love his little quips that he makes about himself sometimes, and he makes a joke about him being fat or bald or Jewish. He's very good at self-deprecation.
Or porous. Get it? Porous.
Indeed. Wago, Bray Wyatt very rarely wrestles, especially on Raw. He's really sort of like a present-day Undertaker almost. You know, they did that whole thing with him being the new face of fear. Even though he lost, that's still kind of his shtick. Is this the best way to keep a guy like Bray Wyatt, to just rarely have him in the ring? And was this a clever way to keep him out of it?
The biggest critique we typically have of Bray Wyatt is that whilst he has got solid promos, which has been less of the case in his more recent work, his in-ring work is where it lets him down. And to be quite honest, if Dean Ambrose is his scheduled opponent, I don't want to see it because I've had my fill of that. So this is the perfect thing that you do with Bray Wyatt. Not every wrestler is meant to be there every week. And I wish they'd do this more with guys where you limit their appearances. They get a lot less stale quickly. And for a gimmick like Bray Wyatt, they're booking him absolutely perfect.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to dig into this. Yeah, you know what? Before we take on our next caller, this is a really big segment. I think we need to talk about this one. We had Nikki Bella, along with her sister Brie, and Foxy, standing along with her in the ring, ranting about how they've been running roughshod over the Divas division, and they own it, and whatever the hell they were saying. Interrupted by Stephanie McMahon. Very rarely get to see her on TV anymore, so it was awesome enough just seeing Stephanie, and the crowd was already electric for that. And I don't know if it was because of leaked dirt sheet rumors, or maybe they just because of the appearance by Stephanie. I think people just felt it in the air what was coming. Stephanie first introduces Paige, saying that Paige has been this leader of a revolution that's been much needed in the Divas division, and then says that she's giving the Divas division a shot in the arm by bringing out Becky Lynch,
woo,
then Charlotte,
woo.
You know, it doesn't end there. You know, if people weren't excited enough, first they get interrupted by Naomi and Tamina. I'm like, what? What? We got more going on here? And then Steph is like, oh, hey, I got someone that you might like for some reason. And she brings out Sasha Banks. And suddenly we got three teams of three. I don't know what the end game for this is. Stephanie's like, I set this up. You know, who's going to win? It's like, well, who? What? When you win, what do you get? Now who fucking cares? All these cool divas are here. They start having a big fight going around. There's this awesome moment where all three of the NXT divas put their submission holds on the Bella team in the middle of the ring. Just so much awesome stuff going on here. Stiff punches, stiff kicks, and the submission holds, of course. Some of the best in the business right now that those divas are doing. I am so stoked for the Divas division for the first time since, I think, Stephanie versus Brie last year was the last time I really had this kind of interest. So let me ask you guys, what's going on here? Tony, who's you most excited to see out of these three that came up?
You know, I don't think I have a favorite out of the three of them. Hmm. I like all three of them a lot, and I assumed that Charlotte was going to be the first one to come up, and having all three of them come up at once I think is even better because you don't have to have, like, that little bit of a lull period where it's obviously that they're going to just focus on the one diva and that's it. Like, now we can have the three of them and they can kind of go back and forth. Maybe, like, one of them gets a good spotlight one week, one of them gets one next week, maybe two of them fight each other, maybe they don't. Maybe, you know, I like that kind of dynamic. But I'm just a big fan of it in general because I like a lot of the people that are involved in this. And some of them I don't really. I mean, Tamina Snuka is not that great or anything. And I've really soured on Paige quite a bit. But I like the three divas that are coming up now. I think that the Bella Twins have been improving a lot. I've always been kind of a fan of Alicia Fox. Naomi has been somebody who they keep ignoring for, you know, I don't know how long. And I think that they've got a good, like, crew of people here. I don't know how they're going to do a match with these. But I'm so thankful that they don't have people like Cameron involved or even Rosa. Like Emma, like, or Rosa. Jesus, God, if Rosa was in this, it would just tank. But this is cool. And I think that you kind of explained it how you said this is the first time in a while since Brie and Stephanie that something seemed interesting in the Divas division, because this has been such a drag for months.
Remember when everyone thought Naomi was going to be a big thing a few months ago?
She should have been.
Or no, you remember when, who was it? Was it Alicia Fox was, like, pouring soda on herself and shit?
Yeah.
Was that this year or was it last year?
I think it was last year.
I think
year.
It was last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
God, that was amazing.
That's right there, though. Like, we don't know for sure when it was. It could have been 5 months ago or it could have been a year and a half ago. And it's like,
It's times like that that I wonder if anybody in the creative team just went, all right, so where does it go next month?
And they went, shut up and go to commercial.
Awesome Piano Man in the chat room making a clever statement here. Are we turning a new page in the chapter of the Divas Division? I get it.
That bigger.
Drew, these three NXT Divas who came up, as I said, have impressive submission holds. No likely told or taught them how to put them on properly by the... Fuck, I was going to say Lana Del Rey, but that's not her. That's a singer. Which is Sarah Del Rey. Which of those three holds do you think is the most impressive?
Of the three holds?
Yeah. The figure eight, the bank statement, and... is that speculum have a special
name? Oh, I believe that's called... Yo, I've got her arm!
Yeah, I have no idea what Becky Lynch's is. I noticed it when she put it on, but I was more paying attention to
this. It's basically just a crossface.
Oh, okay. Oh, crossface chicken wing is what they say on the streets.
What if Wego was serious? Wikipedia says that.
But I'm going to go with the figure eight, or Cole thinks it's a figure four, but it's not. It's a figure eight. I mean, can't you tell? But I like that. Or maybe bank statement. I think bank statement's the most impressive, mainly because Sasha Banks is so small. It's kind of impressive when she does it. At least out of those three, it would be. I mean, the only thing that's different between a figure four and a figure eight is that she lifts her body up in the air and does like a bridge with it. So I'm going to go with the bank statement on this one.
My favorite thing about the bank statement is the setup. How she does that, like, backcracker into it, and then, rolls herself over and just grabs them into it. Really cool.
And the thing about that is, she did it when she won the Women's Championship in NXT. She just let them go and get the pinfall as well. You really can't do that with a figure eight, because that's just a leg move. But with the bank statement, I guess she technically could knock him out if you really tried.
Indeed. So I just looked it up. Becky Lynch has no name for her arm bar. But she does use a figure four leg lock, and it's an inverted one, and she calls it the four leg clover.
Wait.
Oh, so that's clever.
It's a figure four.
It's an inverted.
Well, the other move is, but arm bar, she doesn't have a name for it yet.
Oh. Hmm. But she did an arm bar today, right?
She did 1,000 of them.
Oh.
Wago. Hmm.
Yes.
Do a lot of these divas have to fear their jobs?
I'm interested to see how this plays out. I'm wondering if this is a legitimate movement, or if halfway through, say, a Vince McMahon is like, yeah, fuck these NXT people. We need to take them down a peg. And Nikki Bella goes over. I hope not. I hope this is very much a case of they're shuffling the deck a bit. And whoever's the best, I think, will float to the top. I don't think people like Eva Marie, who I guess they've sent down, or people of that level are going to be able to stick around too long.
You know why I don't think that's going to happen? Is because it was so heavily endorsed by Stephanie. And I think when Stephanie is showing herself involved in this, I think that's legit, too. I think Stephanie is really putting a vested interest into the Divas division and making it something really special. Her and Hunter, for that matter, because they posted like an Instagram picture of him and the three girls that came up, and that, you know, he basically sees them as like his work because they came up through his system down there. I don't know. I'm very optimistic for what's going to go down with them. I'm not saying they're all going to be the biggest things in wrestling in a decade, but I think they're all going to help together create something special there.
I can hope so, and I did enjoy Stephanie's promo as a whole, how she referenced UFC, so she's obviously referring to Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey and Jukicevic.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
You learned how to say it.
I still think I'm a little off, but I'm getting there.
Okay.
Smith.
You also pointed out, I actually brought this up in one of our private chats, about how you were going on about this Conor McGregor guy, and how he's bringing Irish pride into the combat sports scene, and how WWE should capitalize that. And I was saying they could do that with Finn Balor, and you were like, yeah, they'll probably just do it with Sheamus. Well, shame on both of us. We completely forgot about Becky Lynch.
Yeah, she needs to dance again.
Preferably not. She was wearing a very weird outfit tonight, though. That was not her best.
I was a little pissed off. I think she should have brought back the steampunk outfit.
Yeah, the jacket and the goggles.
Yeah, I fucking love that shit.
Well, hopefully she does it when she does a match. Maybe she just came out in that because she knew she had to be combat ready.
Maybe she didn't know she was on the show that night.
I like your idea. I think it was yours, Peyton, who mentioned that Charlotte should have a robe.
I think that was Wago, but yeah, it is a good idea.
I think it'll one, its heritage to her dad, and two, I think it sets her apart if she did that.
Mm-hmm. Like, Becky Lynch has the steampunk thing going on in that coat and stuff. Give Charlotte a robe. And give Sasha... Well, Sasha Banks has that coat that she wears. So, there you go. Give them stuff.
Question. Does Naomi and Sasha Banks wear the same glasses now, or... is there...
I mean, they're on the same team, so why not?
I think Tamina should get some as well, but she still has to wear that jacket thing, so she looks like that girl that's trying to fit in with her, like, popular friends.
I actually have a better idea for Tamina. They have something... they used it back in Cody's feud. It's called a paper bag. And what you do, you put it over their head and it hides their face.
I don't know if that would work.
What, do you think it won't fit around her head?
I don't think it's good enough.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, with that... Actually, I got one last thing I want to say. You know who probably came out the worst tonight? Bailey.
I don't think so. I think that Bailey's going to be the top person in NXT. And, you know, she's young. She's not like somebody that they needed to bring up immediately for like a storyline purpose or something like that. She'll win the title at NXT and she'll stick around there for a little bit. 2016, she'll come up and she'll be a big star.
Yeah, but think of this moment. Like how big this moment was. And she, those girls who came up, those were the ones that she came into with. Like, she just didn't get to be a part of that. That sucks. Yeah. I'm sure she'll be fine. She'll find her spot eventually. But you have to think if she was 100%, she would have been involved in this segment tonight.
Well, you can't all be Paiges. There's got to be some Emmas out in the world.
But Bailey's my favorite. I think she has one of the most... I think she can make it on the main roster, though. I think her gimmick works fine with little kids. So I think she's someone that they can market around a women's division with.
Oh my gosh, those freaking slap wristbands that she hands out?
Yeah.
It makes her like a marketing machine.
I know. But she got some flapping wavy article or something in Tube Men, whatever it's called nowadays. I think that's all you need.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and bring on our next caller so we can hear some other thoughts about what went down on Raw. We're going to bring on our other caller from 609. I think this is Chanel. Chanel, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, guys?
Ah, too much, man. We're excited to talk about this Raw. I hope you are, too. What'd you think about the show?
Amazing. I loved it. Bomb to the top. Everything was great.
Awesome. What were some of the stick-out parts to you? Whoa.
Obviously, the Divas. The Divas, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte. I'm glad to see all those girls step up because I think they... are going to come in and be three of the most talented divas on the roster.
You certainly hope so. I mean, we just spent the last like 20 minutes talking about our high thoughts about them. Out of all of them, who do you hope to see be the breakout one?
I like Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. well, this was the Go Home Show to Battleground. What's got you most excited going into Battleground?
Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins cut a really good promo at the end, bashing Kane, stepping on his ankle. I thought Seth Rollins did a great job, making himself look like a terrible guy, and it's going to be fun to see him face Brock Lesnar alone.
He was a terrible guy. What a jerk. Very cool. Well, we had a number of matches involving our lower card titles. The Intercontinental title's got a number of people involved. The U.S. title has a number of people involved. Both of these titles have seemingly gotten more importance. Which of these lower card matches are you looking forward to?
Kevin Owens, John Cena. I think that's the obvious answer. I want to see them fight again. I think they're going to put on another great show.
And the critics agree, apparently. Awesome, Chanel. What was your high point, your low point for tonight?
High point, the Divas.
Oh, yeah.
And low point, hard to pick one, really. If I had to nitpick R-Truth and King Barrett, something overplayed big time.
Yeah, it had to have been about a good dozen times we've seen that freaking match. And we get to see it again on Sunday for the Battleground kickoff, exclusively on the WWE Network. Make sure you tune in for that. The low cost of $9.99. All right, Janelle. We got a couple other callers here and a lot of other segments to talk about, so we're going to move on along here. Thank you for calling in. Always welcome back. All people out there listening, if you want to get yourself in line to get heard here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, number to dial, area code 760-512-7247, or hit the Skype icon at the top of the page. And, of course, we got the chat room and Twitter and Facebook group open to you as well, if that's what you want to get yourself into. See if I can pull something here out of the chat room here. Ferris 419 saying he loves this week's episode of The Buzzer Show. Yes, it was an excellent edition of that. Sasha Banks is only 23. Mono Apex saying no one likes you when you're 23. I think a lot of people seem to like Sasha Banks.
I'm pretty sure Mono Apex was singing that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did he put little, like, music notes around it?
No, but it's implied.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I feel old, man. 23? Like, shit.
Yeah. Randy Orton won the title when he was 23.
I like that.
Well, shit, I don't like that at all. Remember, JoJo was like 18. That's why they couldn't. Oh, no, wasn't that Paige? Like, they couldn't bring her up to the main roster because she wasn't 18.
Maybe. Okay. Was she 17 when she was in NXT?
Oh, man. No, I.
Holy shit. I don't know.
Or maybe it was JoJo. It was one of them that they couldn't bring up until they were 18. Anyway, we talked about how awesome that Divas segment was, and if you like segments that are filled with strong representatives of their minorities, you're probably not going to like this next one. It's the New Day against Primetime Players and their special picked partner, Mark Henry. Now, this actually was a pretty fun, fast match. A lot of quick-paced moves, tags, and everything. Mark Henry ends up winning with the World's Strongest Slam. The three guys do the dance together. I would want to say there was nothing offensive here, but there actually was plenty offensive. But as far as a match, there was nothing offensive here. Let me ask you guys, what went down here? Tony, I know you're a big New Day fan, so was this fun for the New Day? Or I mean, they lost.
I was horribly offended that the New Day lost. God damn it. Like, why are they losing so much? Like, they were so good. And they're giving these titles to the Primetime Players? They suck. Damn it. Like, New Day is great at everything. Even the fucking Up Up Down Down channel is great. And Primetime Players have been struggling. And I like Mark Henry. And I think that the Primetime Players aren't, like, the worst in the world and all that. But, like, I look at the one side of the team and then the other side, and it's a clear and obvious divide when it comes to, like, entertainment value to me. Like, I loved the beginning of this, where Xavier Woods is like, oh, this is my hometown. And then it's like, all right, well, how are they going to make them get booed if they're already getting the hometown pop thing? And fucking Big E is so energetic. He's feeling the power. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was something about, like, 2 inches of snow or something. And then, like, the whole state shut down or something. And then it's that whole, oh, God, I fucking love
it. And Kofi was, like, punching him in the gut while he was doing it.
It's so great. Like, give these guys the goddamn titles back. They need them.
Yeah. Drew.
Yes?
Does Mark Henry do a good millions of dollar dance?
I think a better reaction was JBL's reaction. Like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't conform, Mark. But it's okay. I mean, I've seen better. I've seen worse. I mean, I do a good millions of dollar dance.
Everybody thinks they do a good millions of dollar dance.
That is true. So that's not saying much. But I mean, overall, the match, it was a match. But I'm actually kind of agree with Tony. I'm a little disappointed with the week they're going to go with the Money in the Bank approach. Weak booking.
Drew cutting out for anyone else?
It's cutting out for me. And it looks like we lost Wago.
Oh, wow. Oh, Drew did say he was in a storm. So that's probably what's going down.
Hello?
There we go.
Hey.
We got the most important part where you said you agreed with me.
Yeah. That entire time, I could hear you guys. So I don't think I ever cut out. But anyways, yeah. Just hopefully they
give them... You know better than us, I guess.
Yeah, apparently so. But no, if they're giving them the Money in the Bank treatment, they lose a lot and then they win the title. I mean... That's fine, but if Primetime Players have a long reign, I'm going to be a little disappointed that this isn't 2012 when I was high on them. So they don't have A&W, which made the group back then. So I'm going to be a little disappointed.
A and W, like the root beer?
Exactly.
Wag, are you back with us here?
I don't know how well you're going to hear me. I've got a lot of robotic noise on my end, so...
you actually sound
fine. I'm back somewhat. As far as this whole New Day versus the Primetime Players feud goes, I'm less than interested in it. It's not the New Day's fault. It's just as a team, the Primetime Players have done nothing to make me back them in any way. Ever since they did those stupid little backstage skits, I've been so disinterested.
Wago, we do have some kind of a robotic noise on your end. It keeps doing some kind of like radio talk. It keeps going at the end of your sentences.
I'm going to pull a tweet out here. I've been a little negligent of the Twitter tonight. Dane Quinn tweeting to us at Raw Post Show. The Diva segment was terrible. Don't defend it. It was a clusterfuck. And you know what? I think there's an argument to be made for that. It was a little haphazard. And that was one of the things I was saying to you, Tony, because if this was a match, this would have been a terrible fucking match. It had just been people going all over and hitting random moves. So I get what you're saying, Dane, but this was just a fun moment because we had all these divas come up.
If this was a match, as much of a clusterfuck of a match as it would have been, it still would have been better than the matches that we've been getting lately.
Truth. Very truth.
Very, very truth.
Very our truth.
Oh, we lost Wago again.
All right, well, while we're waiting for Wago to come back, let's go ahead and bring on another caller. This one hails from the 954 area code. Caller from 954, you're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
My name's Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
And yes, I've been a while. Yeah, you know where I'm calling from. But first off, Raw was great. And I would just like to start off by saying congratulations, WWE. It has taken you, 5 months to finally give Divas a chance. And the Diva segment was great. With the three NXT Divas, we have an armbar? The armbar by Becky Lynch, the bank stand by Sasha Banks, and the figure eight, twice as good as her dad, by Charlotte in that little Divas segment.
Yes, Diva segment was definitely one of the highlights of the night. Everyone has been bringing that up. Which one of these three are the ones you're most excited to see be up on the main roster now?
I like Sasha Banks. I really like her.
Oh, well, indeed. Well, we are on the road to Battleground. What are you most excited for Battleground?
Well, I like two things, because nothing else I'm really interested in is Cena, Kevin Owens, and Lesnar, Rollins, because I'll just say that little error thing, that little thing that was surrounding the U.S. title was great. Like, you know, it's like we have Rusev answering the challenge, and Rusev who now wears shoes now apparently, and then we have Kevin Owens coming out, and then Cesaro, and then we have that little triple threat of who will face Cena, and of course also another five-star match with like Cena and Rusev, but Kevin Owens was also involved, but he left the match. And I really like that, you know. Clearly I hope they won't disappoint. I could see Cena Owens, that I could see one of their three matches being like match of the year.
You know why you can't see it? Because John Cena was there.
Yeah, because I don't know, yeah. And also, the next thing I would just like to, you know, it's strange. Also, did you guys ever notice how, like, in the Stardust versus Neville match, even though Stardust won, you know, did you notice that at first they played Neville's music?
Yeah.
And then it was Stardust.
What's the deal with that?
That was pretty awkward.
Yeah, and then I rewind, I'm like, oh wait, they played Neville's music. So like, yeah, Raw was really good. I really liked the Divas, no Bailey. I was kind of a little disappointed there's no Bailey. Like, you know, like I don't know what other main roster diva could team with and another diva could have like, so they could have like another team of three divas. Like I could like Bailey and like two others. I don't really know who else, you know.
I
feel like Bailey should have been there also.
Uh oh. 5 minutes to Wapner. We got to keep moving along here on the Raw Post Show. Patrick, good to hear from you as always. So we're going to keep moving along to the next set of callers here. But first, we're going to keep moving along with the hosts here. Next segment we have after talking about that awkward tag segment is an awkward singles match that we've seen about two dozen times. Wade Barrett versus R-Truth. I feel like we've been seeing these guys face each other every week since, like, I don't know, March. He hasn't even been King of the Ring that long. Probably ever since Wade Barrett won the King of the Ring. And I guess they're having a match in the pre-show that is to determine once and for all who's going to wear the crown. Well, this ought to be fun. Wago, who deserves to wear the crown?
Honestly, I'd be perfectly fine with R-Truth winning it just because I think this gimmick is a detriment to Wade Barrett as a whole. The Bad News Barrett character was in so much more polished and complete, and I don't think it's helped him whatsoever. I'm not a big fan of when these guys win King of the Ring that they keep this gimmick. Honestly, R-Truth's fucking hilarious, and he can make it work, so I'm all for it. This feud as a whole, though, has been a guilty pleasure of mine.
Really?
For the most part, the matches don't go on too long, and when they do give them time, they haven't been bad. So, it's just a little bit of fun. It's nothing that takes up too much of the show, and I don't know why I like it, but it's just been something a little different, and as far as filler goes, it's better than some of the bullshit they give us.
All right. Well, Tony, who do you hope to see walk away with the crown?
King Barrett, for sure, because he's the one that has a better future if they don't fuck him over like they've been doing for the past bunch of years. But I'm kind of on the same page as Wago. I think that this is actually a kind of funny feud overall. I'm a little bit tired of the matches. I don't really need to see them fight every single week. And I'm not really looking forward to the match itself at Battleground, but at least it's on the pre-show, and that's something that doesn't really matter and all that. But it's got to be King Barrett, and this feud does still have to end. Like, this can't go on for SummerSlam.
I sure hope not. Well, all right. Well, let's say R-Truth wins the crown. What do you do with him after that?
Have him wear the crown.
Yeah. Have him make good on all the promises he said.
Is he gonna go on like a conquest to eliminate all the spiders from WWE?
Yes.
And they should have a wrestler, the Spider.
Yes.
And that can be who he feuds with.
No.
No.
No. Drew.
Yes.
Didn't you hear the question?
Oh, are we still talking about the conquest thing? Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, this has been the longest running feud of the year, if you really think about it, because Truth has been stealing the Intercontinental Championship for a while, too.
Pretty sure Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins have been going on since, like, January.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw them fight each other at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cena was in there, too.
I was right next to you, Payton. I don't think it was those two.
I'm pretty sure it was John Moxley.
But if you really think about it, this feud is this thing has been going on for a while now. It's kind of out of everything that we thought that we could have like predicted, this is definitely not one of the ones. Like, yeah, so I don't know. No one likes Wade Barrett.
Expert opinion, Drew. Thank you very much. All right, welcome. So we're going to skip over the U.S. title match for now. We're going to come back to that because I know that's going to be a hot thing to end off on. Let's first talk about this stupid Tough Enough segment they had where they had all the people come out and pose on the stage, and then Lita comes out and didn't make me want to watch this show anymore. Tony, as someone who actually does watch Tough Enough, was this a good representative of it?
Nope. All right, well, actually it kind of was in a weird way because it sucked. Mm-hmm. And Tough Enough sucks, so it gives you a good idea of, like, why you shouldn't watch the show, and it showed you a couple of the people, but they didn't even specify, like, they announced this girl, Chelsea. She hasn't been on the show. Somebody left this past week, and she's a replacement, and they're just kind of like, here's the people, and
they can do that? Girl.
Yeah, I don't know how they could do it. Like, they've already gotten 2 weeks into the show, and one person, Diana, I can't remember for sure, I think it's Diana, just left, and they were like, well, we want another woman in here, so Chelsea, you can be on the show now, too. And it's a little bit awkward, but I'm kind of, like, a little bit partial to the idea that at least they showed Sarah Lee on screen, because she's adorable.
And she's also named after cake.
They pointed that out the first week, and I was just like, that's where I heard this from. This girl's even better. Like, she's hot, and she's got an adorable personality, and cake. Like, can't go wrong with this. Shit. So anytime they show her on screen, it's thumbs up.
There was two people specifically they chanted for. There was the one African-American gentleman. And
Patrick.
And the last guy, fucking ZZ.
ZZ, yeah. His name's like, it's not even something like Zebekiah where it's like close to it. It's like, shit, like Zamariah Lupe or something like that. And he's like this dim-witted complete oaf.
Yeah, he looked like everyone cheered him the most out of anybody. And I'm like, what is special about this guy at all? He looks like a doofus.
He is. That's what, like, you know what's special about him? You can call him special.
What?
If you know what I mean.
Is he actually, like...
They never said anything, but he kind of seems like it, because he's just kind of like...
Oh, so people are cheering for him, like, make a wish.
He's the lovable goof kind of thing. Like, he's like, I like alligators. Alligators are fun. And she, like, that's basically what he does on this show. And then people are like, ah, ZZ, come here, you little scamp. Like... The Patrick guy, though, he's cool. He actually is somebody who, like, is good at these competitions, and he knows his wrestling shit. That's, like, his kind of gimmick, is he's, like, the only one who knows what the fuck's happening.
Oh, nice. Out of a whole show of people trying to be wrestlers, they got one guy who knows something about wrestling.
Exactly.
And
like,
that means he's not going to win.
They pointed out on this last episode that he was the only one that watched the Beast in the East special. And they asked a couple other people, and they're like, why didn't you watch it? And the guy's like, I didn't know that we could get the network. They're like, you didn't think we could get the network on the fucking Performance Center? No. I thought it was at a different time. I didn't even know there was an event going on.
Or even better, you'd think that they would think that they'd get the network because, you know, they're kind of in a contest from the...
From WWE. Point.
Yes, exactly. You think that they'd be like, yes, sure, here's, just go watch it or something. Yeah, there's no appeal to Tough Enough, and the idea that it's not even Chris Jericho's fault. I remember everyone freaking out about that. It's just terrible. It's awful.
I guarantee the reason why this is on the show is the ratings aren't that good.
Oh, the ratings have been terrible.
So they probably told them, like, look, advertise this shit more, or we won't do another season for another couple years.
Well, Wago, did this give you any interest to Tough Enough?
Well, when I heard Lita's music, I was like, oh, Lita's here. Oh, wait, she's on Tough Enough, isn't she? And then at that point, I realized how much more interested I am in Mudkips and played Pokemon.
Well, all right, then.
And as far as Tough Enough goes and my general opinion on it, it is a dead format, much like the Ultimate Fighter, which needs to be shaken up and or just burnt and killed.
Didn't they just put Conor McGregor onto the Ultimate Fighter?
Yes, which is going to be one of the only seasons that I fucking watch.
I mean, it's really stupid to have Tough Enough when you're going to have NXT. There's really no need for it. And I guess you're going to have the Diva Search, too. How much gimmicky shit do you need to, like, find new stars?
And the sad part is, like, the Diva Search is probably going to be more entertaining to watch because it'll just be a bunch of hot chicks.
Mm. Like, I could appreciate... Sorry, go on.
No,
I could appreciate...
I could appreciate.
I could appreciate. Thanks, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, church.
Appreciate, son. Like Capri, son. I could appreciate this more if it was just a network special where you'd only really go and watch it if you want to. But the fact that they're trying to push this on a network, push it on USA, it's just kind of like, I don't care. If I could watch this on demand when I'm fucking bored and I just need something in the background, I'd be more likely to watch it.
And if USA is begging for them to invest more into it, I don't know what they could. Like, they do this Tough Talk show, and, like, they do so much to promote this thing.
If I were WWE, I wouldn't do shit for it, and then I would just try to bring it on the network. Because I'm sure it would be so much better in WWE's hands.
Is this a fair statement? Because from what I have seen of Tough Enough last time and this Tough Enough... It's a lot more kayfabe than it previously was back in the original round, because original seasons, and I think that might be hurting it.
Tony, can you confirm or deny that?
I can kind of see where you would think that. It isn't, and it is. I mean, like, you've got, like, Hulk Hogan in Hulk Hogan character. But at the same time, like, Daniel Bryan's sitting there laughing about stuff and saying, like, yeah, well, if you mess up this move in the ring, then, you know, like, they're pointing it out as, like, everything is fake and that kind of stuff. So I guess it's more so, like, a couple people take themselves too seriously.
And Bill DeMott's just sitting back going, ha, who's laughing now?
They are, because I don't have a job. That wasn't very humorous for him.
All right, we had the return of Stardust, we haven't seen since the unfortunate passing of his father, Dusty Rhodes. And he's keeping in the Stardust character, it seems. He came in with the full makeup and bodysuit on. He even got some, like, bedazzled jewels on his forehead now. We first saw him cutting a promo in that backstage area that we've seen him with, where they have the lights set up to look like stars. He had a little bit different of a style to it. He wasn't quite as into the weird, like, inflectual tones while he was speaking. He still had a couple of them, but he did have a little bit more of a Cody Rhodes tone to him while he was doing it. So that was neat to see. He was talking a lot about bringing down heroes as he's getting ready for his match against Neville. And I have to think that there's a lot of illusion still going on there. And I think we're still going to see that match of him and Stephen Amell, or Arrow, if that's how he's going to perform, which will be totally awesome. Fantastic. I'm happy to see that. I always liked the Stardust thing, and I thought they were just starting to add some cool things to it, so I'm glad they're sticking with it. He comes out for his match against Neville. It was a fine, short little match. Stardust wins with a handful of tights during a roll-up, and so it looks like we're going to have this feud continue. I don't know for how long, but I'm still hoping, like I said, that this sets up him and Stephen Amell. Tony, I know you're also an Arrow fan. Is that what you're hoping to see as well? Is that the vibe you're getting?
Definitely. I think it's weird, though, that, like, we're even having this conversation. Like, you know, a while ago, if you would have said to me, you know, a superhero thing's going to be on WWE, I'd be like, okay, what are they going to do with Batman or Superman or Spider-Man? Oh, they had Wolverine on? Wait, Green fucking Arrow? Like, I mean, Green Arrow is cool and all, but I never would have thought you would be seeing Cody Rhodes doing a Goldust character against Green Arrow on TV. And I, even if it ends up being something that's, like, abysmal, I want to see it just because I'm a fan of both things. So I like the idea that they're kind of doing, like, a superhero-y kind of thing right now to set up for it. And I think that's where they're going to go. So hopefully it leads to that. And hopefully after that, he turns back into Cody Rhodes. I think that's the end of the Stardust character.
Wago, one of the things that they're doing with this match is that they've built it up with this comic book looking thing. I from what Aisha was saying before, this is a legit comic book, or at the least they had the slides where it was drawn up all cool. Was that something you dug, and should they do more stuff like that to add more uniqueness to each match as they're building it?
Yes, definitely. If they're going to go with this whole comic book thing, I'm all for it. In fact, if I was them, I'd go ahead and actually release a digital comic book and maybe make it a part of the network subscription if they can figure it out.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how you would, but I'd be all for that. It seems like a pretty cool idea. One of my biggest worries when Dusty Rhodes died was what was going to happen with the whole Stardust and Stephen Amell feud, because what I thought was going to happen is he'd return as Cody Rhodes and maybe carry on doing like a tribute to his father. But this is a huge opportunity for Goldust. Stardust. And I don't think it's one he's going to get again. It's very rare that a wrestler gets to do one of these celebrity matches. And if it's like meant to be at SummerSlam, this is going to be awesome for Cody. And I'm very happy that he's got the chance, because he's one of those guys that go very underappreciated, and I'm glad they held off bringing him back.
Drew, if Cody can hit a home run with this, do you think it could spell big things for him?
As a Stardust character, I don't know, but just for the Cody Rhodes himself, I believe so. I mean, Wago hit it head on, you know. Not everyone gets the opportunity to be with a celebrity for a match of some sort. Yeah, you have your Snookies, and yeah, you have your some terrible people that really don't mean much, but I think if Cody Rhodes is able, because this has a lot of cross appeal to it. Like you said, you got comic books involved, and you also got networks involved, really. So all in all, if they could hit a home run with this, a grand slam, just the publicity they could get, I think Cody Rhodes can gain. All he can do is gain from this, unless he just really screws up, like with that Goldust feud that he had back in like February. So Oh, it's his to gain, and hopefully he does, because I love Cody Rhodes. I think he's a great wrestler. Hopefully he could take advantage of this.
Do you think they could send Stardust out on the media rounds?
I was actually about to bring this up. I think he'd be amazing on a talk show.
Yeah, have him come out on like the new Stephen Colbert Late Show.
Yeah, you could actually have Stephen Amell not even in the Arrow character and just have Stardust come out and push him and push him and push him. And you build all this up until the point that he finally puts on the hood and meets him at SummerSlam.
I don't think they can.
No?
As somebody who is into comic books and that kind of stuff, I still think that that would come off too cheesy. I think people would just laugh at it and be like, really? This is the kind of shit you watch in wrestling?
Okay, we've got R-Truth right now that has a fucking plunger as a scepter. We've got Bray Wyatt, which has done some just ludicrous shit, which is unbelievable. So, honestly, I don't think anything is exactly hands-off with WWE. They can be fine. They can do whatever they want.
Out of all those women's wrestlers on payroll, Nikki Bella is the current women's champion.
That makes sense to me. But, I mean, you look at, like, R-Truth. R-Truth is supposed to be laughed at. Stardust isn't necessarily.
He's not?
Not to be laughed at. Like, this is ridiculous. This is such a stupid character. Well, like,
here's the thing is, people might come in and, like, start laughing at him. And, you know, you can maybe do a couple things that where the crowd starts laughing at him. But then he has to do something so dastardly that the crowd goes into shock. And they're like, oh, crap. I didn't take this guy serious. I mean, think about the Joker. Like, a guy who comes in a purple suit with his hair dyed green, like, is that not something silly the first time you see it? But because we've become so conditioned from the things that we've seen the Joker do, we know, oh, shit, this guy's baddie, and I better take him seriously.
Yeah, but I don't expect Stardust to paralyze somebody by shooting him in the spine or something.
Well, here's the thing. Let us not forget, with the Goldust character, he was very much had a more serious and dark side to him at one point before he went all weird. And they can definitely take Stardust on a dark turn. So I'm all for this. And any publicity is good publicity. Unless it's Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit.
Who?
Sorry, I'm not allowed to say his name.
Oh, okay. Well, we have one last thing to talk about here. It's two matches, but we're just going to combine it into one here. It's the John Cena United States Open Challenge. John Cena comes out super hyped, screaming at the camera, oh my god, the freaking US Open Challenge is next, don't go fucking anywhere, stay in your seats.
Boom, 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 boom.
Super excited.
He's the spokesman for RV.
He comes out, opens up the challenge, it's answered by Rusev. Interesting to reignite their feud, and you know, now that Rusev is coming out, the bees are back!
Ah, shit.
This time he's swinging at them with the Bulgarian flag, which hopefully is a better bee defense. I don't really know if there's any extra thing in there to help him, but
what if Summer Rae came out with a beekeeper outfit?
She's like, I don't know how Lana put up with this, but I don't deal with bees.
Yeah, so there's like all these fucking bees around and shit. Like,
I didn't know this was gonna be involved with this show.
Well, Lana's a certified badass. Summer Rae's not, so
certified dadass.
Ooh, clever.
Yeah, well, she should be a certified beekeeper.
Rusev is interrupted by both Kevin Owens and Cesaro, so we got all these people vying for a shot at the United States title. We cut to one of those awkward commercial breaks that we were talking about before, because it's like, oh, we're in this situation, what the hell is going on here? And when we come back from commercial, we're hitting a ring bell. It's like, wait, what the fuck happened? So they haphazardly quickly explained to us that we're having a triple threat match between Rusev, Kevin Owens, and Cesaro, with the winner getting a United States title match later that evening. And these guys tore the damn house down. I mean, everyone's been talking about the Divas tonight, and it's a shame that this match is being overshadowed, because these guys kicked ass for the third week in a row, Cesaro having the match of the night. Kudos to Rusev. People who have been sleeping on him for a long time. First match back from his injury, and arguably one of the best matches, perhaps the best match that he's ever had. And Kevin Owens, you know, people have been singing his praises nonstop for the past couple months, so nothing is more to say about. You know what he can do there. Cesaro has this really cool spot where he does like a springboard into this Tower of Doom with Kevin Owens and Rusev on the ropes. There's this double German suplex that Cesaro initiates, where he had to have, like, at some point through that, been lifting almost like 800 pounds. No, I think that's overshooting a little bit. At least 650. Throughout this match, Kevin Owens walks out, leaving just Cesaro and Rusev. Rusev eventually pulls out the victory, gets the pinfall, giving him the number one contendership, goes against John Cena immediately afterward. However, Rusev is just too tired, too beaten up. He can hardly defend himself. The only cool moment he really had in this is Cena was going for an AA. Rusev drops down onto him into the accolade. But before Rusev can get anywhere into this match too far, Kevin Owens comes out, interrupts again for the DQ, robbing us of another United States title match finish. And he's set up for his match against John Cena on Sunday. I mean, it's a good thing we didn't have that interrupted, I guess. But overall, a great batch of segments here. Kick-ass match, and I'm continually more excited for this United States title match we're going to have on Sunday. Tony, what was your best part about all this?
I did the math, by the way. 570 pounds for the two of them.
Wow. A little shorter than I thought, but still a lot.
800's a big overshoot. It's another person. That's them in Big Show or something. were you asking that my favorite part of it?
Yeah, what was the best element of all this? Because you had a lot of stuff going on here.
I think I liked Cesaro the best out of this. Mm-hmm. Rusev looks like he's kind of doing a little bit better. I mean, I'm still not going to start like singing his praises and stuff. I've never been a big fan of him, and I think that he has got a long way to go. But he did really well in this, and Owens did really well for the part that he was in, and that's no surprise because Owens is like the fucking man. It certainly wasn't John Cena. That was not the best part of this at all. But Cesaro has been killing it lately, and he was really the star of this. So he went from somebody who I thought was going to get just like pushed aside and only wrestle on main event and like SmackDown, maybe Superstars a little bit and stuff like that, but now he's somebody who, like, he could legitimately be a contender for the U.S. title. And that is awesome because his matches are just great.
I have to imagine, actually, whoever wins it, either Kevin Owens or John Cena, he's the next guy in line. And I would assume Kevin Owens, because they have been building heat between the two of them. Because Kevin Owens is the only goddamn smart guy there who has multiple people pissed at him at any given time. So he always has something to do if one of them drops off.
I wonder if that's like a backstage thing. Like, they're like, well, you know, three of the people that you're feuding with are injured. And he's like, oh, okay. And he just sees somebody walking by and pushes him. He's just like, oh, I don't like you either.
I need to feed my kids, damn it. I need to feed.
Cesaro's like, dude, what the fuck? We wrestled in ROH together. And he's like, yeah, well, take this. And gives him a fucking middle finger.
Yeah, I beat up my best friend, buddy. What do you think I'll do to you? Wago. Would you have liked to have seen someone come away with the U.S. title tonight? Wega? I guess not.
Yeah, all right. His name's Cena.
Drew, you take the segment or question then.
Oh, the whole segment? Nah. I don't know if I don't think I would have. I'd rather save it for a pay-per-view. Honestly, I was hoping that they would add Cesaro, maybe even Rusev, honestly, make it a Fatal 4-Way at Battlegrounds. I know it's a little far-fetched, but if they plan on having Cena drop the title then to possibly KO or Kevin Owens the most, it makes sense for someone else to take the fall on it. So Cesaro or Rusev would fit in fine there. But overall, the whole segment, amazing. No complaints at all. Cesaro's showing why he should be considered a top man in this company. Rusev looks a lot stronger than what I thought he'd be after the Cena burial that everyone thought he wouldn't be able to recover from. Slowly but surely, he's making the steps to, you know, being another Bulgarian brute, as he likes to call himself. So overall, happy. You know, John Cena ruining it, just being a fucking quiet mumbler on commentary. But hey, what do you expect from the guy? Wasted all of his energy running out there. So great segment. And this was my best of the night. So good job.
You know what the most weird thing about this whole thing was? Rusev wearing boots.
Yeah. Michael, didn't none of you guys mention that?
Michael Cole said that apparently he did this on SmackDown first. So for you people who say nothing ever happens on SmackDown, if you were watching SmackDown, you would have known that Rusev was wearing boots first. So there you go. There's the argument for that. Either way, this was just so unexpected for me. He came out and I didn't actually notice it at first. I don't know if just that the camera weren't showing his feet right or anything. But once I saw them, I couldn't take my eyes away from them.
You know why you didn't see it when he first came out? You're more worried about him swatting the damn bees.
Oh, that's very true.
I think that the boots suit him.
No.
I think I'll get used to it. It just really took me off at first.
I think he needs like boots along the lines of Kevin Owens. I think his go a little bit higher up. They just look weird on him.
Like, I think it's like the material.
That, and they look like they have like some like ankle brace around him for some reason.
Well, that
like,
might actually be medical because he is still getting over an injury. Well,
very true.
It's some like prison thing. He can't get too far away from the bees.
It's part of his sentence. Wait, are you with a solid?
Or at least liquid.
Body knows.
No. All right. Well, I'm not sitting here waiting for Wago. Before we start doing the closing things for this show, I got one final. Who said it?
One final.
This will be harder than the previous two.
All right. So this question is, or this line is, I truly believe now. Oh, no. I said this one already. I'm sorry. This one is the one. Yeah, this one I think you might have the hardest one with, but we'll see. You are a mouth. Who said it?
Was it Byron Saxon?
Nope.
Damn it.
You are a mouth.
You are a mouth.
Seth Rollins?
Was not Seth Rollins.
We all know Brock Lesnar didn't say it is.
All right, well, I'm going to put this one out to the chat room then, if you're listening out there. Who said it? You are a mouth. Drop that in the chat room, and we'll see if anyone can grab that one while we start doing our final segments on this one. First off, I'm going to tell y'all what my favorite commercial tonight was. And we've been making lots of jokes about these ones, and they had another homer tonight. Arby's. They have a commercial where it just shows, like, 5 seconds of bacon sizzling on a grill. And they're like, mm-hmm. Bump, bump, bump. That was the entire commercial.
They really have just gotten to a point now where they're just like, yeah, you know those commercials that we do? Yup.
Bump, bump, bump. That is literally basically what the commercial was.
I don't blame them at this point. Like,
yeah, kudos for them. So that it's almost like they made that custom fit for us.
What, the whole Arby's commercial? So like that's the for this segment,
that one specifically. They knew that that commercial would like really appease to the people who are tickled by those commercials.
Arby's is getting a lot of plugs from us lately.
Well, they sponsor us, right?
Maybe, I don't know, we'll talk to them afterward.
Okay, well, we're just gonna say they do for now. So this we're gonna head into the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about our favorite part of the show, or least favorite part, and what the worst part of the show was. And it's sponsored by Arby's. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I'm going to say it right this time, where we talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most god-awful, embarrassing part of the show. We invite you in the chat room to drop your good, bad, and ugly into there while we go through what the hosts have to say about it. Drew, what is your good, bad, and ugly for tonight?
My good for tonight would have to be the triple threat between Cesaro, Rusev, and Kevin Owens. I really enjoyed it. Solid outing by all of them. My bad... there wasn't really anything too bad tonight. I have an ugly, that's for sure. But for the bad, fuck. It might just be... I'm going to just give it to Wade Barrett just for the fact that it's not looking too good nowadays. So, that sucks. And my ugly, I have to be tough enough because there's nothing tough about it.
All right, Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good is going to go to the Divas segment. Very odd to be saying that.
Wow.
But it was awesome. I love the idea that these three women are up on the main roster now because they're all great, and this is only a positive when it comes to the whole entire division. The bad is going to go to the Ambrose and Wyatt situation. That is such a terrible segment, and worse off, they ignored Dean Ambrose again. This entire build to Battleground has been absent when it comes to Dean Ambrose, and he went from being a guy who's fighting in the world title and for multiple matches on a couple pay-per-views in a row to not even being on the card. That is shit. And the ugly is going to go to essentially everything that went down with commentary tonight. You've got JBL being monotone, Cena being monotone, Byron Saxton being his normal self, which blows. Like, even Seth Rollins was just like, the broadcast team in general. Like, Rollins stuttering all over his words. The music person, your winner, star, shit, that's the wrong music. Like, the only person on the mic that really stood out to me in a positive way was Rusev. And that's weird, too, because of his whole, you stupid French-American, you've got two first names, what the fuck, kind of a thing. Anytime the mic was in anybody else's hands, or there was some other kind of like audio or commercial break or something like that, the broadcast team in general was just crap tonight.
All right, then. Wago sent me his good, bad, and ugly because he's having some connection issues. He said his good was the Diva segment, the bad, the commentary during the triple threat, and the ugly, Tamina, and the lack of a paper bag on her head. That's fired. Well, for me, my good, bad, and ugly, my good, I'm going to give to the NXT Divas as well. Specifically, that moment where they had the triple submission holds on. That was just such a markout moment. I'm marking out, bro. Using that phrase a lot tonight.
Good, Matt Striker.
The bad.
Jaden said bro earlier.
A couple times.
He did?
The bad is going to be King Barrett versus R-Truth for the 40th time. I'm tired of seeing these guys already. You guys are saying it's fun. I don't know. The novelty was lost on me a while ago. And my ugly, I have to give it to Rusev's boots. They're just so jarring for me right now. I'm sure I'll get used to them, but for tonight, they just really threw me off. Check the Raw Post Show Facebook page for where I made a fun little meme for Rus in boots. Yeah.
Wow, that's what that was?
Yeah,
I didn't get it at all. I scrolled through and I was just kind of like, oh, some kind of Shrek thing.
Yeah, Roos in boots. All right, so we got one last bit of business we're going to take care of. Oh, actually, I got to tell you guys the answer to the who said it. So you are a mouth. Any last tries for who said it?
Rusev?
It was not Rusev.
Was it Kevin Owens?
Not Kevin Owens. It was The Miz. The Miz said, "You are a mouth," to Michael Cole. They were talking about Miz being a movie actor, and Miz told him, "You are a mouth," because he's just a talking voice.
Oh, I remember that now. Yeah. Do you just like randomly just like you hear something like, "Yeah, I'll use that." Is that how you decide?
Yes.
Cool.
All right. Well, before we head out here, I just want to give a moment to all the hosts here to tell about other things they got going on, because if you liked them here, you might like them there as well. Drew, you got anything to tell him about?
You know, just go to the Twitters at Drusev White, and you can go to Make Freakin' Duckin' on YouTube to see absolutely nothing, and just check out Wago's, Payton's, Tony's, Sean's, anyone else there who contributes to anything that these fine people do. So go check them out.
Well, all right. Wago, you alive with us?
Kind of. Everything sounds fucked up still, but I'm here.
Well, you sound crystal clear, so why don't you give us your plugs?
I think you said plug, so I'm just going to tell you StephenWago.com and hope that what you said.
That is indeed what I said, and you nailed
it. Damn it, Wago, you were supposed to give predictions.
He has no idea what you're saying. All right, Tony.
Predictions, lol, Cena wins.
Okay. Tony, what do you got to tell the world about?
If I had a good robot voice, I would do it right now. All right, guys, Smack Talk this week is going to be the predictions for Battleground, and you can check Smack Talk out later on this week on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher. Go to smarkoutmoment.com for everything else that's going to be happening on the wrestling article side of things. Go to the All Talk Show pages on the social networks out there, because who knows when we're going to do an episode of that. And check out fanboysanonymous.com for everything in geek culture. We're going to have a lot of stuff up about... Well, we already did have a lot of stuff up about San Diego Comic-Con, and hopefully some more news will come up and some different podcasts. Ant-Man's coming out this week, so that'll be something we target. So lots of things happening under a Mango tree. Go follow it all.
Ant-Man.
He's going to fight Stardust.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, this has been one of the longest Raw post shows we've done in quite some time, because we had quite a show to talk about on Raw. And if you enjoyed this edition, be sure to join us every single Monday night following Raw when it goes off the air. Tune your browser to megapowersradio.com for the live edition of Raw post show on Mega Powers Radio. However, if you can't be here live on Monday nights, we make it available for you in a number of other ways. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and YouTube. And of course, you can find the links to all these nice and and easily by heading to smartoutmoment.com, where you can also find Smack Talk and a number of other fine wrestling content to check out. While you're finding us on all those places, leave us a comment, rating, review, whatever's appropriate for the place. Helps us climb the charts and get lots of other folks listening. And if you really want to ultimately support the show, head to patreon.com/megapowersradio, where you can support us for as little as $1 a month, and in favor of that, we'll give you a shout out on the show. And I guess that's all I'm going to shove into your ears for now, folks. Till next week, for Drew White, for Steven Juego, for Tony Mango, I am Mike Payton. This has been the Raw Post on Mega Powers Radio, and we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.